the supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging. And to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it, and leave no grief unless Thou takes it away, and leave no enemy, and leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the name of Allah, the best of the names, in the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. You choose today's special to listen from IRIB English Radio. Salamun alaikum and welcome. We're going to speak about the importance of friend in Islam.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes, yeah. I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine.
Today, Monday, is the 14th of Rabiul Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 10th of the month of Azar, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 30th of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Law's Book, the Holy Quran. We'll listen to Surah Al-Furqan, verses 27 to 29. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa yawma ya'addu adh-dhalimu 'ala yadayhi yaqulu ya laytani ittakhadhtu ma'ar rasuli sabila.
And the day the wrongdoer will bite on his hands in regret, he will say, Oh, I wish I had taken with the messenger away.
Ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila.
Oh, woe to me. I wish I had not taken that one as a friend.
Laqad adallani 'ani adh-dhikri ba'da idh ja'ani. وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَذُولًا
He led me away from the remembrance after it had come to me. And ever is Satan to man a deserter.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
مَا لَنَا رَبٌّ سِوَى
Undoubtedly, the factors that form man's personality are different, including his will and decision, and most importantly, his friend and companion. For man is desirably or undesirably impressionable. Most of his thoughts and moral attributes are formed through his friends. This fact has scientifically and experimentally been proved. From the view of Islam, this impressionability is logical so much that we read in Islamic narrations that Solomon, Prophet Sulaiman, alayhi salam, has said, Do not judge someone unless you see who are his friends, for man is known by his companions, friends, and fellows.
I am what I am. Because you made I have what I have Because you gave My love is strong Because you are the one I call creator My Alpha and Omega My protector and my maker Because of you, in weakness I am braver, my defender and my savior, my giver and my taker.
What does Islam say about friendship? Islam attaches great emphasis on the choice of a friend to be selected in life. For this purpose, it is expected that one should employ his or her judgment in a manner free from emotion and try to set aside the criterion for assessing his or her real worth. One must know his or her inadequacies and weak points, his or her ideas, feelings, dislikes, and infirmities. Ultimately, one must discover the human merits and desirable qualities that he or she carries in the depth of his or her spirit so that one may benefit from his or her outstanding virtues. Therefore, for the great good or bad influences friends can have on the characters and personality of each other, it is important for every man of reason to choose friends that are characterized by good mannerism and behavior.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about friendship. And fraternity. Now we find that in this regard, regarding making friends, there must be some criteria. I mean, there must be some good characteristics by means of which one may identify a good friend. One of them is that a friend should be really a mate. I mean, one who feels sympathy with you and helps you in the time of distress and grief. There's a piece of hadith related from Imam Ali alayhi salam in that he indicated in this way: Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. لا يكون الصديق لا يكون الصديق صديقا حتى يحفظ أخاه في ثلاث في نكبته وفي غيبته وفي وفاته في نكبته وغيبته ووفاته. A friend cannot be regarded as a good friend, as a bosom friend, unless he considers his brother in faith in three respects: in the time of distress, in the time of being not present, being absent, and at one's death. At the time of death and after death, a good friend usually invokes the divine mercy and the divine compassion and divine mercy for his deceased friend.
Hey, all my life, doubting was a part of me. Day and night, I fight my insecurities, asking why am I, who am I? I just want some peace of mind. And the salam, wa minka salam.
Rights of friends, moral care. Mental crises and misfortunes may befall some people who in such cases become in urgent need for aid and relief. The loyal friends are the first people who must hurry in providing such help by means of words and authorities. This is in fact the true standard of love and distinctive mark between genuine and false friends. Imam Ali, Amir al-Mu'minin, Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "The true friend is only he who regards his friend in three situations: ordeal, absence, and death." Abu Ismail narrated that he told Imam Baqir, peace be upon him, that numbers of the Shia were great. The Imam said, "Do the rich ones among them act with kindness towards the poor? The good doers overlooked the evil doers, and they help each other?" I answered, "No, they do not." Imam commented, "They are not Shia. The true Shia are only those who do these acts." Now we look at friendly ways, how to choose good friends in Islam, a friend who will always remind us. In making friends, we also need to choose a friend who will always remind us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we make a mistake and are on the wrong path, he will always warn and remind us. Choose friends with similar values. While diversity is great in many ways, when it comes to your general values and beliefs, it's best to keep core friendship with like-minded people while you can respect others' opinions and differences. Choosing friends that hold similar values to yours will keep you from compromising or being negatively influenced by those that don't uphold your values and the standards that you govern your life by. When friends have similar values, they can help keep each other accountable.
The issue of friendship is an extremely important issue in the religion of Islam. We have many narrations and ahadith from the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, guiding us to select proper friends, warning us of the dangers of evil and bad friends. Let's examine some qualities which the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, have shared with us. Qualities of our friends. When it comes to selecting your friends, you have to be extremely selective. There are certain qualities that we need to keep in mind. Because we human beings, you know, we're not made of steel. We're like a sponge. We absorb everything from our friends. Don't think that your friends cannot influence you. All of our friends, whether we realize it or not, they influence us. We're like a sponge. We absorb everything. If my friends have good habits, I will pick up on those good habits. If my friends have negative habits, bad habits, I will pick up on those negative and bad habits. Here in our Western society, one of the challenges that our youth are facing is peer pressure. Don't think that your friends cannot pressure you into doing something. They have a tremendous impact in pressuring us. Most of these people who fall into drugs, into other types of corruption, how do you think it starts? The Canadian Lung Association once did a survey about those people who get addicted to smoking, to drugs, and they fall into other types of corruption. They realize that the start is peer pressure. They would ask those kids, teenagers, you know, what is it that led you to drugs? What is it that made you addicted to smoking? You know what they say? Well, I saw my friends doing it, so I wanted to fit in because it's cool. I did not want to be someone who's not like my friends. See, this person has had associated with bad friends, and that's why he suffered from bad peer pressure. All of our friends influence us. That's why the wise person will surround himself with good friends so that these good friends will pressure you to do something good.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/en. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us start the day with a wise aphorism from Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, the 11th infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Worship is not the quantity of prayer and fasting, it's how much you think of your God.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. One of the things that, you know, when we were young, or myself when I was young, especially when you would go to school or to the madrasa, the Islamic school, people would say, no, money is bad, money is this, money is that. You know, it'll make you realize or make you, or even, you know, think that, you know, being wealthy is a bad thing. Money is the root of all evil, and so on and so forth. However, this is not the case. Wealth, in and of itself, is not good, is not bad. But rather, what makes it good or bad is the way that an individual sees it and the way that the individual spends it. A person who is wealthy can spend his money in supporting his family, supporting the poor members of his family, supporting the poor members of his society, can, you know, partake in projects, so on and so forth. And also you have the other side, a person who is wealthy can partake in all types of debauchery, in all types of corruptions and sins and so on and so forth. So it's not the wealth that is bad. It is the person's view of that wealth. Whether a person views that wealth, one, as a means towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or as an objective for this worldly life, and that is it. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in this regard, a very beautiful tradition, it is said that when a man mentioned the rich people in his presence, defaming them, so a person came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and started speaking bad about certain rich people within that society, the Imam told this person in a very harsh way, you know, angrily, he said, be quiet, and you know, don't speak about them like this. And then the Imam continues, says, for verily, if the rich man maintains relations with his kin, that is his family, and does good to his fellow brothers with the aid of his riches, that is, he supports them. If they need help for certain projects, he assists them. If they need help in starting up a business, he assists them. So there's many things that can happen here. This is some examples. Allah doubles his reward for him. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, this is a verse from the Holy Quran, it is not your wealth nor your children that will bring you close to us in nearness, except those who have faith and act righteously.
It is they for whom there will be a twofold reward for what they did, and they will be secure in lofty abodes. So here we see that the use of wealth is important. Again, we must also understand, my dear brothers, this is the intention for that use is also important. For a wealthy man can, you know, wish to support these religious projects because of getting fame, and not because of being known in the community. No, this is something that we also need to be very careful of. If we are of those who are able to help and assist with our wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, we should try and do it in a way that does not, you know, make us feel boastful. We should, you know, be humble in doing so. Again, this requires spiritual self-exercise, spiritual self-development, and so on and so forth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who see wealth as a means to reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not as an objective. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. In the new series of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, first we're going to have some quotes about the Quran by some Western scholars. Then we're going to listen to some verses of the Noble Quran recited by one of the famous reciters from around the world. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed of the Noble Quran, is going to analyze the recitation. And finally, at the end, you're going to listen to a segment called Attractiveness of the Noble Quran by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Dear audience, stay tuned. John Davenport has said in his book, An Apology for Muhammad and the Quran, the following. The Quran, consequently, differs materially from the Bible, which, according to Qom, contains no system of theology, but is composed chiefly by narratives, descriptions, sublime effusions of devotional emotions, and much sound morality, bound together by no striking logical connections. Nor it is, like the Gospels, to be considered merely as the standard by which the religious opinions, the worship, and the practice of its followers are regulated. But it is also a political system. For on this foundation, the throne itself is erected. Hence every law of the state is derived. And by this authority, every question of life and property is finally decided. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 73 and 74 of Surah Az-Zumar, recited by Mahmoud Hossein Mansour.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وسيق الذين اتقوا ربهم إلى الجنة زمرا وسيق الذين اتقوا ربهم إلى الجنة زمرا حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها سلام عليكم طبتم وقال لهم خزنتها سلام عليكم طبتم فادخلوها خالدين وقالوا الحمد لله الذي صدقنا وعده وأورثنا الأرض نتبوأ من الجنة حيث نشاء الحمد لله الذي صدقنا وعده وأورثنا الأرض نتبوأ من الجنة حيث نشاء فنعم أجر العاملين
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. You just listened to verses 73 to 74 of Surah Az-Zumar by Sheikh Mahmoud Hussein Mansour. We want to analyze this recitation now and talk about the rules of tajweed that exist in these verses. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Verse 73, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا وَسِيقَ, the qaf in وَسِيقَ has tafkhim. We have to pronounce it with a full mouth and with the mouth opening vertically. وَسِيقَ, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا, again, تَقَوْا, اتَّقَوْا, the qaf as tafkhim, thickness. رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. رَبَّهُمْ, the Ra of رَبَّهُمْ has tafkhim because Ra has fatha in this word. إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. Again, زُمَرًا, Ra has tafkhim. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا. Another phrase, hatta ida, we have matul munfasil. We have a disjunct mad because the long vowel and the hamza are in two different words. But in the word ja'uha, we have matul muttasil because they are in the same word. The mad, the long vowel, and the hamza are in the same word. So we have matul muttasil. For Mad al Munfasil, you should lengthen the Mad to 2, 4, or 5 vowel counts. But for Mad al Muttasil, you have to lengthen it to 4 or 5 vowel counts. وفتحت أبوابها وقال لهم. Again, قال لهم. The mouth opens vertically because قاف is a letter of استعلاء, which necessitates تفخيم. وقال لهم خزنتها. خزنتها. Again, خاء is a letter of استعلاء. خزنتها. And all the other letters in this word are letters of استفال, so you have to pronounce them with ترقيق. خزنتها. We don't say خزانتها. Okay. We don't give تفخيم to letters of استفال unless the letter is راء, which requires تفخيم under certain conditions. For example, if راء is مفخم or مفتوح, you have to pronounce it with تفخيم. سلام عليكم طبتم. طبتم. The طاء has تفخيم here, but it has the lowest level of تفخيم. طبتم. We don't say طبتم. طبتم. We don't exaggerate the تفخيم. We have to make it really low. The root of the tongue is not raised as much because the كسرة causes it to be raised less. فدخلوها خالدين. فدخلوها. We have قلقلة. And خالدين. Again, we have تفخيم of خاء. وقالوا الحمد لله الذي صدقنا. صدقنا. And this, in these two verses, we had a lot of instances of letters of استعلاء. وقالوا الحمد لله الذي صدقنا وعده وأورثنا الأرض. أرض. ضاد. Again, the letter of استعلاء. نتبوأ من الجنة حيث نشاء فنعم أجر العاملين. Again, all the letters of استفال are after أرض. نتبوأ من الجنة حيث نشاء فنعم أجر العاملين. We have no letter of استعلاء in this line of this verse, so they have to be pronounced with ترقيق, every letter. And also in the word nasha, we have maddul muttasil. That's it for today's program. Inshallah, in the next episodes of Let's Recite the Quran, we will listen to other great recitations by famous reciters from all over the world. Inshallah.
Kitabullah.
Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the final segment of the program called Attractiveness of the Noble Quran. We invite you to listen to Brother Yasser Ibrahim. He's going to tell stories of those whose lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Another one of the great verses of the Holy Quran, especially that we as followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam should know a lot about, is the verse in Surah Ma'idah, the third verse of the surah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the perfection of the religion and the completion of the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam on the day of Ghadir. The verse that Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Dinakum. A very famous verse that most of us have heard many times from the members. We have read about it many times. We've been told about this many times in our madaris and our schools and our teachings. But there are two very beautiful stories regarding this verse, or that have been written in the books by our scholars. Inshallah, in this episode we'll mention one of them, but they are very similar. The first one is written in a book known as Tara'if. Now, Tara'if basically are short maxims or stories that have a witty or sometimes have a humorous thing to them, or sometimes they have a very strong point to them. You know, it's something that, you know, should affect you. It has a lesson to it, like an anecdote.
So this book, Tara'if, was written by Sayyidina Tawus. So rather, he collected it, because obviously he took stories from different places and he put it in a book. Now, Sayyidina Tawus, as most of us know, is one of the great scholars, one of the great Urafa and mystics of the Shia tradition. So in this book of his, he mentions one story. And he says that this story is even narrated in the books of our Sunni brothers and sisters, even in their siha. The siha are those books that our Sunni brothers and sisters believe to be authentic. There are six. And one of those books is known as Sahih Muslim. And he mentions that in this book, Sahih Muslim, this story or this narration is there, that a group of Jews, and the story is narrated by a person known as Tawus ibn Shihab, who narrates that a group of Jews once said to the second Khalif that if this verse that Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Dinakum, that today I have perfected for you your religion, was revealed upon us, the Jews, and we knew the day that it was revealed and everything that surrounded that particular day, we knew all of this, as of course the Muslim knew all of it. Every single sect from amongst the Jews would keep that day as a celebration. And we would celebrate it. So this is the day in which our religion was perfected. This is the day where no one else and no other religion can overcome us, can be higher than us, and so on and so forth. So this is one of the stories that is narrated regarding this verse in the book Tara'if by Sayyidina Tawus. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
Lecture.
Sheikh Asad Ja'fari.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi alladhi la yablughu midhatuhu al-qa'ilun wa la yuhsi na'ma'uhu al-'addun wa la yu'addi haqquhu al-mujtahidun. Alladhi la yudrikuhu ba'du al-himam wa la yanaluhu ghawth al-fitan. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين صاحب العصر والزمان خليفة الرحمن إمام الإنس والجان ولعن الله وعداهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين. We will discuss and begin our topic of our discussion tonight. And before I actually get to what we want to talk about, let's first build up a little bit of a muqaddama or preliminary discussion, and then that will segue into our topic. We know enough to know, and again, I will go, you know, a little bit kulli, you know, a little bit absolute, and then I'll filter down into what I want to talk about these next 2 weeks with all of you. As you know, one of the purposes of our creation as a human being is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to be His khalifa on earth. Right? Ja'alun fil ardi khalifa. He says to the angels that I want to make a khalifa on this earth, a vicegerent, a representative. Somebody who will make me ma'loom and make me known to other existences. Now, why does Allah need to be known? It's not my discussion. If this was a theology class or a aqid class, then yes, we can answer that question. But it's enough to know that we have a monumental task ahead of us. And one thing that I have mentioned before, and I'll say it again, that sometimes we think this khilafat or this vicegerency only belonged to one Nabi Adam several hundred thousands years ago. The reality is that the entire responsibility of being a vicegerent of Allah, a representative of Allah, doesn't lie on Adam, but Adamiyat, meaning all of humanity, which includes you and I. Meaning we also are the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having said that, it is important that we understand what that means. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this call? Why did He create us for this purpose? And I'll go a little bit back. You know, I remember in Bayt al-Qaim, I had an ashra, the rise and the fall of man. If you remember, a couple of Muharrams ago, I talked about initially the rise of man, how Allah now chose us to take on this monumental task, and how the angels were a little bit confused, that, oh Allah, you know, this human, this earth that you talk about is only good for, you know, khunrizi and fasad and corruption and bloodshed. If you want someone to do your hamd and thana, to praise you and glorify you, then we are there for you. We'll do tawaf of your arsh all day long and do your hamd and thana. At that moment, Allah says that, I know what you do not know. Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. Been discussed several times by myself and others in various platforms. I don't want to go down that route. But I do want us to understand that the confusion of the angels to a certain degree is justified. That here you have an unlimited, flawless, immaterial being like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wishes to have a matter-based, maddi-based, flawless, flawed, limited human being to represent Him. Something is off there, right? So on one side, Allah says, yes, there is this creation. There is this nation there for us, you know, for you to lead, no doubt. But at the same time, you know, there is another dimension of the human being that is worthy and capable of becoming my representative. So there seems to be a disconnect, at least in my eyes and my limited and my ignorance, that on one side we have this potential Allah sees. At the same time, I know خلق الإنسان ضعيفا, man is weak. خلق الإنسان من عجل, man is haste, right? We're weak, we're haste, we're easily distracted, easily swayed by shaitan, all these things are there. At the same time, Allah now has seen something inside of us to quiet the angels down, that I know what you don't know. You don't know the insan like I do. I created this insan. There is a dimension to him that's angelic, that's spiritual, that's ma'nawi in nature. But still, there seems to be a disconnect between what Allah wants for us and how He created us. Okay? So Allah then, of course, injects this qayidayi lutf, this command, or what's called, you know, the law of His grace. Okay, Allah is latif, right? Latif meaning that, you know, His from His lutf, right? Like we have in Farsi, hajira lutf kardi shuma. Like you were gracious toward me, like so someone who is appreciative towards somebody. Aga lutf kardi, thank you very much. You were very gracious, very kind to me. I appreciate that. Allah being latif, for example, is Allah who's being very graceful, gracious to us. Right, giving us things sometimes that we don't deserve. How many blessings, even now, If I stop and think about the blessings that I have, be it the roof over my head right now, or my beautiful children, or my supportive and loving wife, or you know the love and the support of the entire New Jersey community, be it Beit al-Asr or Beit al-Qaim, for example, all of that is something I don't deserve. I don't deserve it. But Allah, through His grace, has gifted that to me. Okay. Equally, when you try to bridge the purpose of our creation as Allah's Khalifa and us and our characteristics as someone who is worthy and is capable of bloodshed and corruption and facade, then there seems to be a disconnect. What connects these two things is Allah's grace. It's Allah's grace. Please follow me very carefully. This is such a crucial discussion for us to have. What is this grace now? Allah said, look, to bridge the gap between these two, to help the insan reach that kamal, that perfection, I'm going to now send them. Send them. And do send them. Elements of tarbiyat. Not tarbiyat. Let's look at the word tarbiyat. Tarbiyat, as we know in Urdu, Farsi, and Arabic, means somebody who helps to nurture or to flourish or to grow. Okay? For example, my parents out there in the audience right now listening to me, you do tarbiyat of your olad, tarbiyat of your children. You do everything you can possible, spend every dime you have to make sure the kid gets everything that they need. Be it food on the table, clothes on their back, a bed to sleep on, education to sit there and learn from, everything, every suhulat possible for them to flourish, right? Give them all the elements around them to flourish. That sometimes when the elements around them block their progress, you're the one that comes in and says, no, you could do it. You know. So one of the things that Allah is known at inside of His essence and His existence is that He is a Rabb. Part of the root word of Rabb is Rabbawa, meaning He is our Murabbi. He does tarbiyat of us. It's not that He created us and then went on vacation, na'udhu billah, or left us alone to our vices and our virtues, right? فَلْحَمَحَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. I've divinely inspired between right and wrong and left you. No, He actually now went from a khaliq to a rabb. He created us and now He's nurturing us. You give birth to your child as mothers, then you nurture them, right? So I'm going to make this parallel today between the parents and Allah. Not that we're elevating parents to the level of God. No, of course not. But at least for taqrib al-zahn, for us to understand it better, for us to understand what do I mean by this murabbi, it's extremely important, okay? So part of the process that Allah now bestows upon us, again, through His grace, we don't deserve it, I'm sorry, nor is He forced to do any of this. No, of course not. Everything is out of His loving grace, okay? Nobody is forcing my moms to wake up in the middle of the night to feed their child. No one's saying, look, get up. Your innate, your fitri love for that child forces you to get out of your cozy bed and pick him up or pick her up, feed her, give her a bottle, whatever the case may be, and put them back to sleep in the middle of the night, sometimes multiple times a night, right? If you decide to let that child sleep the whole night or cry the whole night, no one's gonna stop you, but your fitri innate need won't allow you to do that. Same thing. Allah doesn't wish for us to suffer, or for us to lose, or for us to, let's say, fail. That's His what? That's the tarbiyat and rububiyat inside of us, inside of Him, that is causing Him to lead us. Now, one of the things that He does, in His idea of Him being a murshid or murabbi, things that flourish, like right now there's a plant here beside me, okay? It's real, by the way, okay? And this plant now didn't come like that from the store, okay? It came as a very small plant. This plant beside me, as long as I give it or my wife gives it water and sunlight and food to grow, it'll grow. Meaning my job is to what? Is to give it all the elements to grow. Meaning when it wants to expand now, you know, put more soil into a bigger pot. Right? So this is its third pot now that we've changed. We've added more soil, we gave it more water, and alhamdulillah, it went from a small little plant to now, you know, one that's getting bigger and bigger every single day. Okay? Us as parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our Rabb is no different. He places all the various tools in front of us to grow, to flourish, okay? To break out of our shell, to take the surrounding elements, absorb them, and grow while we absorb them, okay? When you think of the word flourish, for example, the word flourish. When I think of flourish, I think about the idea of even though there are elements around me that blocks my progress, for me to progress through those destructive elements is called flourishing. please understand this point very carefully. The example I'll give is a very simple example. In my front lawn right now, I'm at home right now, with, you know, obviously. In my front lawn right now, when I open the front door, there's about 6 slabs of concrete. And then my front lawn begins. A little small patio there. 6 slabs. Very heavy, heavy slabs of concrete. They've been laid down on top of dirt or soil. And then the grass grows from where the slabs end. All right? Now, when I go out there and I mow the front lawn, okay? Sometimes when I look inside the spaces between the slabs of concrete, there's maybe an inch or even smaller. Sometimes if I ignore those slabs, I'll see some blades of grass, growing in between the slabs. Please follow me very carefully on this example. Blades of grass, I'm already 15 minutes into my discussion. Blades of grass growing into or through those little cracks. Now think about it. If you are grass wanting to grow and you have this heavy concrete slab on top of you, essentially trying to destroy your growth, but there's always one or two blades of grass that find some crack between the concrete and find that one opening of daylight and grows itself in between that one small crack, right? That process that it does, meaning ignoring all of the elements, the heaviness of the slab, the darkness of the slab, the weight of the slab, and somehow still does what it does best. Grass is meant to grow. It grows, even through those very difficult elements. That's called flourishing. That's called rushed, to grow, right? When this plant behind me grows when I give it everything it does, that's fine. But for sometimes for it to grow, when the elements are screaming for it to not grow, when there are elements to stunt its growth, then that is true flourishing, okay? Sometimes when I see today's youth, elements upon elements to stunt their growth, to pull them away from Allah, to make them people who are individual based only, to make them people who worship their desires. And I see them grow towards Allah, there's nothing better for me. It's a beautiful sight. It's like that blade of grass in between the slabs of concrete that has just pushed its way out and growing. And that blade of grass is sometimes stronger than the entire front lawn grass is. It's gone through a lot to get to where, to fulfill its potential. As parents for our children, from young all the way until even their parents themselves, we continue to give them all the elements to grow. In the beginning, there's physical elements. We give them food, we give them rest, we give them playtime, we give them all sorts of stuff. Then we get them to schools, and we do their homework for them, and we do their science fair projects, and we help them with their assignments, all of those things. And then later on, when they have all those things under their belt, we give them akhlaqi behavioral dimensions to grow. Grow inward, right? Grow physically, grow mentally, grow spiritually. Take them to the center, send them for Hajj, I don't know, all these things, all of these elements now to ensure that we counter those destructive elements of growth out there that are there to stunt my child's growth. And now I have to, what? I have to now resist those and give them all the wings to fly towards their potential, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala built in His rububiyat is no different. When we say, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabb in Dua Kumail, on Thursday nights, what we're really seeing is Ya Murabbi, Ya Murshid, Ya Mun'im, all these elements He gives us and bestows upon us and flourishes us and grows us to get towards Him. Okay? Now, that's Muqaddama. Come to point number 2.
Salli ala Muhammad, Salli ala Muhammad, Salli ala Muhammad.